Sunday Mornings with Yellowknife Vineyard.
It's such a pleasure to be able to bring the word to you. As you are aware, we've been doing a series, Not So Secret Sauce, and we are touching on a number of different subjects. And this morning, for the next few minutes, depending on how well you respond, it can be a few hours, we are going to talk about mutual affection and love. Now, when we dealing with this particular topic, we're not talking about emotional fuzzy feeling, but rather we are talking about a call to action. It's really about a call to action and a commandment that is given unto us. So pray with me that God's going to anoint my words and give me the clarity of speech that I may bring forth his word according to his will without fear or favor. I really do covet your prayers this morning. It's a tough topic, but one that is very necessary, one that is always needed. And most of you, you'd have read 1 Corinthians 13:1, or you would have heard it read. Most of the time, we have the habit of reading this during weddings, but it transcends the particular event of a wedding. This is really the Apostle Paul calling us to action, as Jesus Christ did so many times. Love is the foundation, or shall I say, a cornerstone of life. Without love, everything that we do, everything that we achieve, as Apostle Paul told us in 1 Corinthians, it really comes to nothing. It's really nothing. All virtues ought to be centered on love. They are meaningless without love. All the spiritual giftings are meaningless without love. The scripture encourages us to love one another. For love is the greatest gift that we can give to one another. Yes, we do appreciate the gift of material things, maybe financial, but most importantly, above all, love is the greatest gift that we can give to one another. There's no greater gift that you can give to a fellow human being other than that love. Why is that so? Because with love, then you can actually care for that individual. With love, you can be sympathetic. With love, you can forgive. You can show patience. Without love, these virtues are absolutely meaningless. When we love one another, we are patient with one another. We forgive one another. We honor one another. We demonstrate the kindness. Now, here's the key. Love is not dependent on your circumstances. Love is not dependent on what's going on in your life. It's not the absence of you going through troubles, but love is expected to be demonstrated at all times. Love is not dependent on how you feel. That's why in this scripture, when you read it very carefully, it's not about the fuzzy feeling that you wake up, you know, and then based on that, you demonstrate the love. It's regardless of what's going on in your life, regardless of the difficulties and circumstances which you are going through, you still have to show that love. It is very difficult. I'm sure you would all agree with me that as humans, it's quite difficult because we are humans and we are creatures that are governed by circumstances, that are governed by experiences that we go through. And based on those experiences, we respond and fashion our actions and reactions, which is unfortunately contrary to what the Bible teaches us. That kind of love, we can only demonstrate it when we are filled with the love of God. Because that kind of love requires us to show sacrifice, to put others above self, to be merciful, to show compassion, to be sympathetic, to be generous, and be patient. You would agree with me, that kind of love is only possible when you are filled with the love of God. And I'm sure there are times when you would feel not to love the next person, but at that point you are not fulfilling the principles of Christ. And it's not to feel condemned, but it's to remind us that we do require and we are called and are saved to demonstrate a higher, greater love. A love that in human sights that we cannot understand. And I'm not talking about Hollywood love, but I'm talking about that deeper love that calls us to action. You might be familiar, there's different types of love, four different types of love to be specific. But mostly, above all, we are talking about the agape love, the love that is very unconditional, because the other three loves really and truly are conditional love. They are based on the condition. You love your spouse because your spouse, because of what they, how they make you feel, how they improve your life, whatever the case might be, that's how you are basing your love. But the agape love is calling us to have that love unconditionally. Unconditionally. How is that possible? That kind of love is only possible when we are filled with His love. When we visit the book of Luke, in the 10th chapter, Jesus Christ was asked a question by a lawyer. Jesus Christ responded to the question by giving this lawyer a parable, which is so famously known as the parable of the Good Samaritan. This particular parable of the Good Samaritan illustrates of what kind of love has come to be expected of us Christians. But very briefly, in this particular parable, there were three people. There was a Levite, a priest, who first encountered this man who had been beaten, stripped, and was left for dead. They not only did they walk past, they walked the other side to avoid him. Maybe you feel beaten up, you feel trampled upon, you feel stripped, maybe by family circumstances, maybe it's financial, maybe it's health. I have good news for you. The Good Samaritan is coming your way. The Good Samaritan is going to pass by. So here comes the Good Samaritan. Now, I should preface this by telling you this, like, the love that is demonstrated in this particular story, in this particular parable, was the question that was posed, was a response to the question that was posed by the lawyer: Master, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Now, to put it into perspective, this incident in this story happened between two cities, Jerusalem and Jericho. And it's assumed that this person that was beaten up would have been a Jew. And here comes the Samaritan. Now, if you read back, the relationship between the Samaritan and the Jews was not so great. In other words, they were enemies. So here comes the Samaritan who stopped, cared for the Jew, took him in to be cared for, and paid the debt. At face value, this particular parable is taken to mean the love that we ought to show to one another. But when you look at the full context, when you examine the full context to the response, you would see that Jesus Christ included all mankind. So your neighbor, in other words, is the entirety of humankind. So we ought to show kindness not just to our family members, but to the entire mankind. How do you do that? How are you able to care for somebody that you don't know, for a stranger? How do you do that absent the greater love of the Lord Jesus Christ? One of the lessons that we can remove or extrapolate from this particular story is the sin of indifference. And most of the time, most of us, at one point or the other, we are definitely very guilty of this. The sin of indifference is basically, I don't care, it's not my problem. I've got enough of my problem. I need help myself. Therefore, I cannot care for my fellow brother or sister. Let somebody else worry about that. That's a sin of indifference. I didn't do it. Let the government or the next NGO worry about that. It's not my problem. I've not paid my mortgage. My children need clothing. My family is in turmoil. I've got a sick and dying parent. That's not my problem. Unfortunately for us, that's not what the Bible teaches us. It teaches us to respond and show love irrespective of what we are going through, irrespective of the circumstances, irrespective of the difficulties that you are going through. It's a call to action. It's not optional. It's a command. Because if you read in that passage of scripture in Luke 10, Jesus told the lawyer, go and do the same. Go and do as the Samaritan did. Which means we have to be also very deliberate in seeking out those that are underprivileged and seek them out and show them that love. And I have to say, this church is so good at showing that, and we are so blessed, and you know, but we need to do more. We need to do more. We need to show more love, more care to those that are underprivileged, to those that are suffering. We should not turn away from them. It's not to make you feel guilty, but examine yourself for a moment and you find, like, at some point, every one of us have erred and we have committed a sin of indifference. Either because we're preoccupied and we didn't see it. So our prayer should be, Lord, give me the ability and the sense to discern when somebody is in need, when somebody is in want. It might not be to provide them resources, but it might just be to give them that hearing, just give them a sounding board, or just tell them it's going to be all right. Just showing empathy, just showing that you care, like it's going to be all right. We cannot solve every single problem of the world because there are many, and many are the problems of mankind. But that should not deter us from doing what we need to do within our sphere of influence. Ask yourself, God, what have you given me as a sphere of influence? Because each and every one of us has been given a space in which our talents, our giftings are required. Maybe is in the church. Maybe it's to stand up here and sing. Maybe it's to be at the booth or to greet people as they come in. Maybe it's to prepare the coffee. Ultimately, you are not supposed to be idle in the kingdom of God, for there are no spectators in the kingdom of God. Every one of us has a place. Every one of us has been called to be a blessing. Every one of us has been called and been prepared and been gifted with something that the next human needs. Maybe he's praying for others. Maybe I'm going through a challenging situation and I'm not able to pray, and you come alongside and you're like, my brother, I will pray with you. I will stand with you. Ask yourself, God, what have you placed in my hand? What have you placed in my hand? Because if you look in throughout the Bible, every stories of all the great men and women, that the stories has been recounted in the Bible, there's one recurring story with all of them. Whenever God was about to do something great with them, whenever God was about to use them to do mighty work, he asked them, what do you have? He used what they had in their hand, in their heart, because that is what the gifting was. Remember Moses? God asked him, what do you have in your hand? And that which he had in the hand was used to bring water out of a rock to split the Red Sea. What do you have in your hand? You ask yourself, how can I love others when I do not have much? I do not feel loved. I feel so abandoned. Especially at this time as we heading towards Christmas, you know, it's family time, and sometimes it can bring forth a lot of emotions, maybe family, and maybe family have been divided, and you ask yourself, Lord, at this very difficult time, how can I love others? And obviously, you are justified in your feeling. You are justified in your question. There's nothing wrong to ask your question. But ultimately, those questions can be answered with this. It is a commandment to love others. So then your prayer should be, God, no matter what I'm going through, use me. Use me, Lord. Use me to show your love to somebody. Because the love of God is personal. He loved you personally, and he loved you perfectly. In his sight, you are perfect. In his sight, you are not disabled. You are perfect. Because his love is not like that love of man that can disappoint you at any time. His love is one that never ends, never ceases. It's love that comes with discipline us. Just because we make mistakes doesn't mean God has stopped loving us. And we need to guard against seeing the love of God through our experiences, through the way we are loved by our parents. That's not the way the love of God is. Because the love of God has no mind to destroy. The love of God wants us to be well, to have an abundant life in however form he wills. His love is never changing. Maybe you're feeling unloved, doesn't change. And because his love doesn't change, he also disciplines us. You know, my child, do not reject the discipline, the Lord's discipline. And don't be upset when he corrects you, for the Lord corrects those he loves, just as father corrects a child in whom he delights. The book of Proverbs tells us. Sometimes you ask yourself, does God love me with my imperfections, my mistakes, my troubles, my sufferings? The answer You can draw it from the psalmist. He said, I will be glad and rejoice in your unfailing love, for you have seen my troubles and you care about the anguish of my soul. That should be our cry. When things are hard, when you feel alone, when you feel like no one cares for you, I want you to know that God cares for you and God loves you. He does care about your situation. He cares about your sadness. Why does he do that? The answer is simple. Because he loves you. Because he loves you. The Bible is very clear as Paul puts it. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered a sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither light or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That would have been a good place for you to say amen. I gave you another opportunity to move your grade. I'm going to take it like you are paying attention, so you are listening. So now we are at D plus. We're making progress. In conclusion, we all know about the story of the prodigal son. This is an illustration of unconditional love. Where the son, we are told, he selfishly asked for his inheritance. He squandered that inheritance. But yet, the father welcomed him. He restored him. The father had no reluctancy in receiving him. There was no condemnation. What better story of an amazing grace? God has given us that freedom. God has given us that the ability to restore us. That's why he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever will believe in him shall be saved. We've been given an opportunity and called to be saved, to love him. Are you going to receive that love? Because once you've received that love, then you'll be able to love others. You'll be able to be of service to others. You'll be able to place yourself or others above the self. Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Next time you see a brethren or you see some, you know, in the grocery store, don't walk away. Don't duck so they don't see you. Say hello. Say hi. How are you doing? And be deliberate about it and be meaningful about it. Because that simple hello can mean a lot to somebody. It can mean, oh, actually somebody sees me. Somebody cares. What do you have in your hand? Are you willing to give that to God to use it? And say, God, may your will be done in my life, Lord. May I be of service in your kingdom. Whether it's a stranger, Whether it's somebody that I don't agree with, whether it's political or religious views, can I love them? Lord, give me the ability to love them. If I see a Muslim brethren, am I able to embrace them and tell them God loves them? Or am I going to say, no, media has told us they are our enemy? That's contrary to the word of God. Love one another. The last verse in that scripture that we read, it says, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. In your job, that's your sphere of influence. Can we bring love in the marketplace? Your school is your sphere of influence. Are you demonstrating that love of Christ to others? And now, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. I invite the praise team to come forward. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We ended at B minus. Did well. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. We hope you can join us again next time. Be blessed.